Fred, how would a person that's in the security field get into consulting, and how would they learn about all of the different technologies and different aspects?
Well, some people come from the sales end of it. They feel like they've been designing systems for a long time, so it'd be easy for them to make the leap and become consultants. The big problem with that is that most of them come to an end user with a solution as when they're in sales. If they're selling access control systems or even a particular brand, that's what they're used to coming and selling, and their job is to convince the end user that that's the system for them and the company is going to be the best installer and provider of that service. Where a consultant has to go in with a completely open mind without any preconceived ideas of what the solution would be. They're there to find out what the exact problem is and to find out what other factors such as liability affect that problem. For example, I got received a call from a plant in Portland area that had a problem with an former employee that was doing damage to certain cars of other employees that he was unhappy with when he worked there. And they wanted to catch him, so they called me to design a video surveillance system to put up on their light poles to do surveillance of the parking lot and catch this perpetrator. I asked them what they would do once they caught the person. They said, well, we would take either criminal or civil action against them in court, so we wanted to be able to have this video recorded so we could prosecute. And I said, well, once you prosecute and the end result, he goes to jail or fined or whatever, what happens to the camera system? Well, we'd take it down and put it in storage until we had another incident. And I said, well, then it's you don't want to put up a permanent system or even a temporary system because of liability issues that would happen subsequent to that. If you took down the system and then somebody was mugged or robbed or raped out in the parking lot and they tried to sue you, they could testify that, well, I felt comfortable when there was a video surveillance system up, but now that it's taken down, we lowered our standards of security, and that's why I was attacked. So I said the best solution would be to hire a private investigator that would be in a van with a camcorder to be able to record the incident, and he would be more of a professional to testify in court against the person, as opposed to just a regular employee that happened to be watching the monitor and doesn't really have time to use the pan, tilt, zoom control because they're doing another job. So you probably might not even get a video of this occurrence happening, but certainly as far as a witness, they would not make a very good witness in court. So I turned down the job, instead recommending that they choose another source, where a salesman would say, if you want to buy a video system, I'll be glad to sell it to you.
So when schools first get started in building a school or retrofitting a school, how do they basically drill down to find the security consultant?
Well, it's usually one of the last. Security is almost always the last issue that's even brought up. The problem is that the architect usually doesn't have security even on their checklist to bring up the issue and ask about what their needs are for security. If the school states that they have a concern and a need for security, the architect generally recommends that they contact a security vendor and deal with them, that security has nothing to do with the design of the building itself, which I find to be very untrue. I feel that 80 to 90% of the effectiveness of the security is depending on the actual design of the school. And when I've interviewed many schools and asked them what they feel is the biggest problem with security or that they have to deal with, the vast majority have said it's the actual design of the school. It was not designed for security in mind. That they've made multiple buildings that the students have to walk from one building to another, leaving them exposed. That there's too many doors that are left unlocked, that have no means for the school to even know whether they've been propped open or used, or kids have left or snuck out. So security is just often ignored by the architect altogether.
Do you see SEPTED being implemented into these projects?
Not at all, especially for schools. SEPTED could be a very useful item, and it really depends on the part of the country. Some parts of the country, the architects have greatly adopted SEPTED principles. But here in the Northwest, they seem to almost reject it.
So you have to ask yourself why that is. I would think that the AIA and some of those larger organizations would be be looking towards those types of issues while building out these green concepts that they have for schools.
Well, approximately 10 years ago, there was a joint conference at Washington, D.C. with the AIA and the National Crime Prevention Institute, which gave a presentation on SEPTED and why it should be used. So I called the local chapter of the AIA and asked how many members were going to be attending that conference. They were not even aware of it and said that no one would be attending the conference at all.
So in ASIS, we probably have our work cut out for us getting a hold of some of these different groups and making them aware of our existence, if not the things that are going on within their own organization that are security related.
That's very true. We should probably invite more architects to meetings and have it geared towards training them about the SEPTED principles.
Fred, if you were to build the perfect school for security, making sure that our risk mitigation was at a very high percentage, what would that school look like?
It would look like a wagon train in the circle to fight off the Indians. It would be not necessarily circular, but could be even like a square or rectangle. But the building would be a continuous loop with a courtyard in the middle for summertime lunches, vegetations, plants, but it would be a place to evacuate if they had to because of fire or a lockdown, where they'd be in the center of the structure, not near the windows. So they'd have an escape route without having to leave or be out standing out in the rain in a football field. It would also have a very secure entrance, and only one entrance that everyone would have to, at least visitors would have to go to a screening area where they'd be an intercom to talk to them, find out what they wanted and so on before they even entered the building. Then they could only enter a lobby and not go beyond that, where the student would be called to the office if they came to pick up their student to take them for a doctor's appointment. But there should be multiple barriers that would prevent them from getting into the actual main body of the school. And there's a few schools that have designed that. Puyallup School District, for example, has a very similar system that they can do screening and not allow the visitors to go beyond the lobby area.
That's interesting that you bring that up. I was at my daughter's school not too long ago, and it was very open, and I could wander around all over the place. I was amazed, actually.
Well, I've actually seen pictures or visited manufacturers of security systems, access control and video surveillance, and find their offices to be extremely open to the public. So, again, their main emphasis is on equipment, not thinking of SEPTED principles or having barriers to even keep the public out from private work areas.